verse, Job 25:4, where his detractors saying, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman?" And it's certainly a big question, because if we are honest with ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves and think about all our faults and failures, you know, it's almost discouraging to even try and come before the Lord, because I can think of so many times when I have doubted Him, when I shouldn't have doubted Him, when I have failed Him. And Job, in the book of Job, they ask this question: how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? And if we try and answer that question of self, the answer will be no, it's impossible. It's impossible. You cannot be good enough. You can't fast enough. You can't pray enough to make it on your own. It's what Christ did is your covering. It's what Christ did on the cross is our covering. Amen? You know, let me try and give you a good example. We were trying to repair that wall in there. And if you saw it when we had torn down all of the stuff, it looked horrible. It was horrible and all crumbly and just nasty. Now, we didn't really fix that part. But we put a covering on it. And if you go and look at it, you would never know what's behind it. That's really what's it. We have not in this flesh changed yet. We still have this flesh to deal with. But I'm telling you, if you let God put a covering on you, the Bible says He will beautify the what? The meek. That's right. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. There's your first key, right? He didn't say He'll beautify the arrogant or the prideful or the look at me, look what I can do, look at all my gifts. I can sing, No, He said He'll beautify the meek. It was the prayer of the publican that was answered, right? The Bible says He wouldn't even lift up His head. He wouldn't even lift up His head. He just said, "Have mercy upon me, God, I'm a sinner." And the Pharisee came in and said, "Lord, I thank Thee because I pay my tithes and I do this and I do that." And God is not looking at that, because none of that makes you righteous. None of that makes you righteous. It's not what we even wear that makes us righteous. God sees you naked. Did you know that? God sees, it's not your clothes that make you righteous. Now, I'm not telling you go around naked, because we still have to be a witness to our fellow men, you know. People always want to say, "Well, God sees my heart." And that's fine. Yes, God sees your heart. I can't. I can only see what? Your actions. I can only see your outside. So there are two parts to that. But let's go on. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I know during the years I've asked this question before. I'm going to ask it again, because it's my measuring stick. Do you believe you're perfect? Do you believe you're perfect? See, there's some hesitation there, some smiles, because people are hesitant. Let me read this scripture again. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in my flesh, I'm not perfect. But I'm not naked. I have a covering. You go around there and look at that beautiful wall there. It's all painted up nice, and Brother Malcolm painted it. And you can't see what's underneath. It looks perfect. Now, if you'd seen it before, you'd go, "Yuck." See, He makes us perfect, but only through faith. You have to believe. God's faith, justification, is only applied through faith. You have to believe that. When you believe that you are perfect because you have been obedient, there's obedience that comes with it. There's some obedience. You know, people say Noah was saved by faith. But he was really saved by faith in obedience, or obedience in faith. Because he had to go build a boat, didn't he? God could have just levitated him above the water and just made him hang up there. But there is a part for us to do. There is a part for us to do. We have to be obedient. And if we're obedient and you put it with faith, then you are perfect. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You have access by faith into this grace. That means you have this unmerited favor only if you believe. That's why the Bible says, if you ask, none doubting. Right? I love your testimonies about commanding the animals. You said, come sit here. If you ask, none doubting. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we are justified, and we know the words. We've read this scripture many times. But we need to picture it in our minds a different way. We need to picture us as being perfect. Because God is not looking at us as the mess. He's looking at us as his finished work. As I preached a little while ago, when he said it's finished, it's finished. The scripture says when he comes the second time, he's not coming to deal with sin, your sin or my sin. He's already dealt with it. Now it's up to you to go down to the spiritual bank and get some. Amen. If there's been $1 million deposited in the bank and you're living in poverty, does it do you any good? No. Especially if I give you a check. I give you a blank check and I say I've deposited $1 million in the bank. Now you have two choices. You can either believe me, and if you believe me, what you're going to do? You're going to act on it. You're going to go get the money. Now you may look at me and say, nah, he doesn't have $1 million. And you may just stay in poverty. And a lot of us, that's how we are with the devil. He says, no, God can't do it, or God won't do it for you because you're too much of a mess. And we do not believe. We fall short of the glory and of God because we don't believe of what he said. Amen. Let's go on. So here is the whole summation. God is holy. Man is sinful. And Christ is sufficient. Amen. Christ is sufficient. Amen. He is sufficient. He's all that you really need. All that you need. So first of all, peace with God. Luke chapter 2:13, when the angels came to announce Jesus' birth, the first thing they said is what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This was the first thing to herald that there was going to be a different operation. In the Old Testament, there wasn't much peace with God, right? There wasn't much peace with God, as I said. You go pick up some sticks and you might be stoned if you did it on the Sabbath day. Or if you said the name of God in vain, you might be stoned. But the first thing the angels announced was peace, goodwill towards men. That heralded a new thing. A new thing. In Genesis 8, God already knew how wicked we are. He said, for man's heart is evil continuously from his youth. Right? You can just see a little boy as they get, or a little girl as they get to a certain age, the terrible twos, right? They say the terrible twos. You say no. They're looking at you. And then they're looking at you. And they're seeing what's going to happen. They said no, but let me see how far I can go. Now, the trouble is we do that. You know that? We do that. We're looking at God and seeing how far can we go before something happens. It's terrible. It's terrible. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You see, God came to put an end to the strictness, the rod so much of the law, because Paul goes on to say that what it could not do, because it was weak through our flesh. The law wasn't wrong, it's just none of us could really keep it. And even the Jews thought they were keeping it, but then Jesus gave them a whole new revelation. If you just look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. You don't have to actually have done the action. They thought as long as I don't do it. But he took it to a new level and just showed him, just to think about your brother hatefully. It's the same as killing him. You know, oh, I'd never be a murderer, but have we done it in our thoughts? Have we got angry at someone to the point where, man, if we had supernatural godlike powers, there'd be a pile of ashes on the ground. We'd have wished some people out of existence, wouldn't we? We would have. That's why, you know, there is no good thing in me. Paul says, I don't find any good thing in me. There's no good thing in me. What you see at most is a face, right? Get me mad enough and you'll see a different face, right? And same for you. Get you at the wrong time. See, when I was getting married, I wanted to see the worst out of Sister Yvonne. Because I'd grown up in a home where my father had married lots of people, and I'd seen marriages come and marriages go. So I was scared to death of marriage. So I wanted to see the worst. I mean, if you're going to go on a date, they're always going to be on their best behavior, right? So I would turn up at all the wrong times. When she wasn't expecting me. You know, I'd get led into the house and be able to hear her talking to her sisters when she didn't know I was there. See, I studied this. I was going to try and do it scientifically. You know, because we are there in me. Bible says there is no good thing. There is no good thing. Amen. And once we understand that we can't come to God based upon anything we have done, and only on His righteousness and His grace. Amen. Here's something. No God, no peace. No God, then no peace. Amen. When you truly know God, you can have peace because you understand that you're not walking any way, shape, or form because of you. You're only existing because of God. Every day I walk into work, I say, well, Lord, you know, I don't deserve this job. I'm only here because you made this happen. Amen. It's everything I have, Lord, belongs to you. I tell the Lord that every day. I have no skills, really. It's you. I confess everything back to Him. I don't have anything. I used to think it was me. When I was younger, when I thought I was, you know, it, in my teens and 20s, but I realize now God has shown me through many, many that really I'm pretty dumb and stupid and no good. And everything that has happened to me, it's been Him. And that's why sometimes He has to take it to extremes before we realize that. He has to let our situation get so bad that when the miracle happens, we know it's Him. If He had fixed it, we'd have... You know, that's why Israel, many times God had to wait till they went past the good part, where it was hopeless, because they would have claimed the glory. Many times our problem is we want to claim God's glory. Look what I have done. Oh no. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You see, by faith into grace is what it says. We have Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8 encapsulates, says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast, Sister Johnny. For we are His workmanship. Go ahead.
Okay, now this is the scripture right here that I hear many people quote. And it's like they explain it to you, and they says that it's not by anything that you do. So don't anything matter about how you live or what you do on a daily basis, because it's not by your works. It's all by faith. And there's a lot of churches who use this scripture right here. But I was wondering, isn't this scripture already directed to the church?
That's right. It was to it wasn't to unbelievers. So they had already done something. You see, it is not of works that we are saved, because we couldn't do enough works to be saved. But still, we still must be obedient, right? we have to be obedient. That means we may fail, but we should be trying. We don't give up and say, okay, I'm going to do anything I want, and God's grace is going to save me. Paul himself said that, right? Said, should we sin that grace should abound? No. No, that's not what it's saying. It means that we should be doing our best to live a godly life. We should be doing our best to live a godly life. But no matter how good we try, we are going to fail. That's what the definition of sin, the word hamartia, means in the New. It means to miss the mark. But to miss the mark, it means you were aiming. It means you were trying. You can't miss the mark if you weren't even trying. So what it's speaking about is that we must still be trying to live a godly life. Where God covers, where grace covers is when we have a gap. That doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean I can do anything I want. Sister Mary, you were going to say something. Sin, that grace should abound. It says, no. God forbid, no. And that's what Paul was accused of by the early church, that he was saying you could do anything. No, he wasn't saying that. What he was saying is the best that we do is still going to fall short. The Bible says of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean you do anything you want. No, we have to do our best. God looks at the intent of our heart. We have to do our best. We should pray. We should fast. But it's not prayer and fasting that is going to save us. It's obedience and faith that saves us. It's because we're doing the act. It's because we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? It's because we're being obedient. Jesus, in Matthew 28:19, he said, teaching them to observe. That means to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded. So we are saved by faith through obedience. But our best obedience will fall short. I will get up today and I'm going to say I'm never going to think any impure thoughts. I'm going to go all day and I'm never going to get mad at someone. I'm not going to get all upset. You know, that'll last for about maybe an hour, maybe, until I actually meet someone. Right? But because I am trying, God counts it as if I'm perfect. Because the problem is this body. And remember, the Bible says you got to reckon yourself what? Dead, right? So this body is dead. So all the sins that I commit, as long as I am honestly trying, this body is going to go away. It's dead when I went down however many years ago it was. 9 from 60, whatever that is. I was 9 years old when I was baptized, so that'd be 51 years ago. So however many long years ago it was, this body should be, the Bible says, count this body as dead. And I've taught so many times that when we identify with Christ in baptism, that's when this old man died. The Bible says to walk in newness of life. And it's very difficult. Here's the difficulty, because we still are walking around. I heard someone preach a message, dead men walking. Dead men walking. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, what does it say? That we should walk in them. It's the act that Abraham, and I've said this so many times, God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, okay? And I'm going to tell you to go to this land, Canaan. The moment Abraham started to walk, God pronounced him perfect. But on the way, he messed up several times, didn't he? He said, she's not my wife. He lied, right? He brought half his family with him. And he stopped for 5 years. But he got up and finally he kept on walking. And to the point where God called him his friend. And he's the father of faith because he believed God. Even though he wasn't perfect in his walk, he did walk. And eventually he got there. We're not going to be perfect in this walk, but don't quit. Don't stop. That's when you have failed. That's when you have a problem. The scripture says the righteous man falleth down, what? 7 times, but he don't stay there. Oh, God has forgiven me so many times. So many times. So many times. So many times. I can't stand up here as pastor because I'm perfect. We had a Bible study several years ago, and there was a gentleman that came in and said he's perfect in his flesh. Amen. Bible says that if you say that, you lie and there is no truth in you. For all have sinned and fallen short. It's God's grace that makes up that gap. That makes up that gap. Amen. We are saved by grace, and we live by faith. Let me say it again. We are saved by grace, but we live by faith. We believe that God purges us from all unrighteousness. Every day I get up, it's a new man. The Bible says new every day are his mercies. They're renewed every day. Amen. Romans 5:3 says that not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Ooh, that's hard. Ooh, that's hard. That's kind of a little bit like what I preached about. Give me my mountain. Right? Glory in tribulations. Anyone got some tribulations? Who does not have tribulations? Now, there's two kind of tribulations. There's one that's caused by you, otherwise known as self-inflicted wounds. Leave that one alone. You can't blame God for that. Right? There's lots of times when we, the devil did this and the devil did that. It was no devil. It was you. It's just us and our flesh. It wasn't the devil. You know, the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. There's still going to be people who reject God. The devil just piles on, but a lot of it is us. So we can't complain to God by stupid stuff that we have done. But we can go to him in humility and ask for mercy. I've done a lot of stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. All I can say is, Lord, have mercy upon me. And he's been so gracious, so wonderful, so loving. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, if you're suffering for the name of Christ or just because you're a Christian, then you should get excited. If it's because of your Christian walk the devil is beating up on you, you should get excited. I don't want to testify anymore. Anyway, God is so good. You should get excited because you know what that means? You're just laying up some treasure. Some good stuff's about to happen. Something great is about to break through in your life. You should get excited. Boy, the devil got on my case because I was handing out tracts, or I got a flat tire when I was witnessing to somebody. Get excited. Glory in it. Thank you, Jesus, that you counted me worthy to. That's what the disciples did. They gloried for the fact that they were going to be beaten up and put in jail for the name of Christ. That made them excited. That made them happy because they were laying up some treasures. Hallelujah. See, God will never not pay his debt. Do you understand that? God is not someone who's going to let you accumulate debt and owe you anything. So when you suffer for him, there's going to be a weight of glory coming to you. Amen. It says, we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I've learned now to wait on the Lord. I've been through some things where he didn't answer right away. And I got weak need, but I've learned now to just wait on the Lord and lean not. You've heard all my old stories. You know, you all know my stories. I wanted some money and my mother gave me a Bible. But it said, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Amen. As I told you, my testimony, I said, I thought we would not be able to buy a house here till we sold that one. And God is just moving the wheels. Because he knew I don't care about that house. I haven't lived in it for 5 years. You know, and I was willing to let them take it if that was what it came to. God is so good. God is so good. My car right now is still making noises. It's making noises every time the wheel goes around. But it's still running. Amen. God is good. Amen. I'm going to glory in tribulation. You know, because no weapon formed, no one can come against a child of God. No weapon formed against is going to prosper. Amen. In my spirit, sometimes I get upset because I'm flesh. And I found out I have very little patience nowadays. Pray for me. I need to just get more chill. But God is so merciful. God is so gracious. If I get silent around you, then you know. Pray for me then. When I get silent, you know just to pray for me. Amen. And patience, experience, and experience. Once you've been through something, you have hope. You have hope because you've been through this way before. You've seen some things happen, and you know that God is able to deliver. And in such a spectacular fashion, amen, in such a spectacular fashion, and hope maketh not ashamed. God has never let me be ashamed. Never let me be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In a modern translation, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Now, that does take faith. Let's try that. You got a problem? Let's rejoice. Thank you, Jesus, for this problem. Can you think of a problem right now you're facing? Okay, I want you to just in your mind start, thank you, Jesus. I don't know why this is coming to my life, but Lord, I thank you. I thank you because this is going to work to my good. If you can think of a problem right now, just focus on it and say, Lord, I thank you for this because it's teaching me something. It is building something in my character. It's giving me faith. It's giving me patience. It says we can rejoice. You know, some of us get a lot of our blessing now. And some of you may say, well, Lord, I've been waiting a long time. All these other people getting blessing. All I'm telling you is you are going to receive such a reward, such a crown of glory. Just hold on in faith to what God has got for you. You may not have had it down here. You may have had a life that's been very hard, very sorrowful. But listen to me. There's coming a time when all that's going to turn over. All of that's going to change. Do not let the devil make you bitter and look at other people, okay? Because God has got so much more for you. This isn't life we're going through. This is just the birth pangs. Real life begins when God says, come up here, and he comes back and we reign and rule with him. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has got in store. Amen. For those that love. It's only through faith we can see some of these things. He says, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us. See, I go to the gym. I don't work out. I just walk and run. But there's some people that they go to build muscle. I'm trying to lose everything. I'm not trying to build anything. But I see them, and they put these weights on these things, right? And they exercise, and it takes some force to build muscle. They say it actually tears the muscle fiber, and when it rebuilds, it's stronger. And that's exactly what we're doing. It says the trials and tribulations help us to trust God and to get through. See, once you've seen him feed 5,000, 7,000 is not so hard. They'd seen him do that before. That wasn't a new miracle when he did it again. See, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure, and endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us. And that's the key. Do you believe God loves you? To me, it's amazing that God loves me. It's amazing that God loves me. But that's what we are told, that God so loves each of us. And we say, well, he loves somebody else. That's what the devil will say. He loves somebody more than you. No, he loves. Who here has children? See, I really only wanted two children originally. That was my plan. I only wanted two children. Children are expensive. They take everything you got. Children are expensive. Even today, you know, I had a call from somebody. Car wouldn't start. They needed running. So I said, okay, take it to the dealer. How much? I'm telling you, I only planned for 2 children. But you know what my wife said every time, you know, number 3 and number 4. So which one of them will you give back? Well, none of them. God doesn't want to give back. He said, I would that none should perish. God doesn't want to lose not one of you. He loves each and every one of us. He really doesn't have favorites. It just looks like favorites because some of them obey. It's not that God has favorites. It's just some people obey. You know your children. Some of them obey and some of them don't. The ones that don't obey, they get in all kinds of mess. Isn't that true? That's all it is. It's not that God has favorites. It's just some people obey and have understood and have learned. Others develop slower and it takes them more time before they learn. You know? It's some of us develop at a slower pace. We got to go through more things before we realize that ain't going to work that way. That ain't going to work that way. Amen. But it comes down to, do you believe God truly loves you? And when you truly believe that, if you truly believe that God loves you, and you know, I'm so, confession, I'm so unfaithful sometimes because every time God does some other miracle for me, I say, Lord, you love me. You know, it's like, you do really love me. You just keep doing, you know, we are so fleshly. We so in unbelief. And the more he does, and the more he does, you know, because devil is on the other side. No, he don't love you. You might as well give up. You're a loser. See, but we if we get to the point where we truly believe he loves us, there is nothing, the Bible says, that shall separate us from the love of God, which is in. And he goes to list all the stuff. Height nor depth nor principality, power, or any other creature. But I taught a Sunday school once when I said love is like a chain. You remember that? When is a chain strong? A chain is not strong in pushing anything. You can't push love. But if you're tied on, God can pull you. See, if we will hold on, God can pull us out of anything. Amen. Amen. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love. God proved his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, while we didn't know him, while we didn't consider him, he was willing to die for us. And now most of us, again, we're saying yes, but he died for the whole world, not for me personally. I'm saying for you personally. Jesus told a parable. He said there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. But he wasn't happy. Why? One. He could have said, well, you know, man, that's a lot of trouble. That sheep should have stayed with the fold. I can't be bothered to go looking for one sheep. I got 99 others. To show you God's nature, he said, no. He went after the one sheep. That's how much God loves you. He will keep going after you no matter how far you go. You will have to just tell him to his face that you don't love him. But as long as you don't do that, he's going to keep coming after you. It may take years. He'll look in every valley. He'll keep bringing circumstances into your life to bring you around to want to follow. That's how much God loves you. Amen. It said, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Romans 5:9 goes on with that theme. It says, much more than now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Amen. Paul is saying, look, if he died for us, when we were sinners, when we didn't really know him or understand, how much more is his resurrection life going to save us? But again, the devil is always whispering to us, you messed up. You didn't pray. You lusted. You spoke some things. You thought some bad things. You've got to tell the devil, it is finished. It is finished. There is therefore now no condemnation. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you are filled with the Spirit, you can claim that scripture. You can tell the devil, yes, in this flesh I'm not perfect, but this body is dead. And that's why Paul said, I mortify my flesh. He died daily. Every day he got up, he said, listen, flesh, you're going to have to talk to your flesh. You're going to have to talk to this flesh and say, you're dead. Forget it. Every day, you're going to have to tell this flesh you're dead. I know all the things you would like to do. I know all the desires you'd like to have. I know all the thoughts, but you have to talk to your flesh and tell it you're dead. Speak to your flesh. Amen. Tell it it's dead. The Bible says if you live in that flesh, then you will be dead in trespasses and sins. But if you don't anymore live in the flesh, but live in the Spirit, the Bible says to you he gave power to become sons of God. Amen. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, say much more. That means not a little bit, much more. If something is much more, that's a lot. If I give you $100 and then tell you, I'm going to give you much more. Now in your mind, you're thinking, well, 100 is a little. And he says he's going to give, you're thinking at least 1,000, right? If I say I'm going to give you, I gave you 100, but now I'm going to give you much more. You're not thinking 200. You're thinking big. Do you understand that God gave us a promise? We have the earnest. This is just the beginning. And he said, I'm going to give you much more than this, much more than this. Amen. We shall be saved by his life. Verse 11 of Leviticus 17, where he laid out the blood atonement, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement, a covering for your soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement or covering. When Jesus died, we got a covering. Now, if you look in there, we put a covering of some, they call it luan and some white paint, and you can't see the mess anymore. It looks better than the rest of the in there. It looks better because it's got a covering. Do you understand the blood of Jesus is covering you? Amen. You look better than you were before. Amen. Amen. It looks like we should paint the rest of it because that part now sticks out. It's looking too nice. The blood of Jesus, amen, covers us from all unrighteousness. Amen. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able also to save. It says to the utmost, and really what that means is forever, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Amen. When I read this verse, I used to think of when I first, many years ago, I used to think of the high priest. And he would go in there on the Day of Atonement, and he would ask for forgiveness for the sins of the people of Israel. And they would be listening for the bells, listening for the pomegranate bells on his garment that they should be ringing, because if they were ringing, that meant he was alive. That meant that God accepted the sacrifice. And all those millions of people, three million people, were laying prostrate, facing the tabernacle, waiting for him to come on out. When he came on out, and then he pronounced the name of God upon them, I can imagine a shout of rejoicing, knowing that they were forgiven. They were God's people. He had accepted their sacrifice. I'm telling you, we should have a shout of rejoicing because we have had the name pronounced over us. And we are free. Hallelujah. We are declared free. We are declared perfect. He's able to save to the utmost. That means there is no limit. Those who draw near, as long as you're willing to start drawing near to God, as long as you're made up mind saying, God, I'm such a horrible person, but I got to make it. I'm not giving up. I'm coming to church. I'm going to seek you. Although I fail, although I fall down, I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to come. He says he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he ever liveth. You see, The difference between us and them people there is they only had one day. Once a year, it's coming up, right? September, October, Day of Atonement. They only had one day, and then they had to live the rest of the year. Whenever they started messing up, they had to wait the whole year to get that feeling of cleanness and forgiveness. But you understand that in Hebrews it says, He entered in the heavenly tabernacle there to make intercession. Our Day of Atonement is right now. It hasn't ended. He ever liveth to make intercession. It's like I got a permanent attorney in front of the judge saying, dismiss. No case. Amen. We have a permanent advocate. We have an advocate and a high priest. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession. Who was that guy who got OJ off? Johnny Cochran? Christ makes Johnny Cochran look like a failure. Johnny Cochran only got OJ off. But Jesus is willing to give whosoever will. Amen. Now, it's probably OJ did it. That's my belief. I know I did it. I'm guilty. But I have an advocate. Amen. Who is willing and able to pay my price. Amen. Amen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9:14, offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And here's another of my very favorite scriptures. And for this cause, He is the go-between, the mediator, the force of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death, of His death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal. Let's say it, eternal. Eternal doesn't end. Do you know that? I'm telling you, if you could just by faith see what God has got in store, if we could just hold on to that promise, you'd be able to go through what you're going through. I've always said, I think that when Paul got a glimpse of heaven, that gave him enough for the rest of his life. He just said, I've seen it. I know what it's going to be like. I can't put it into words, but I'm not giving up now. You can chop my head off, Caesar. Amen. I'm just going to say I fought a good fight. In fact, he said, you know, I'm ready to go now. I'm only staying because of you guys. It's better for me to stay for you. But if it was up to me, I've seen what heaven is like. I've seen what God has promised. Amen. I've seen it. I'm holding on to that. Amen. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption. You ever redeemed anything? You got it back. Of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. You see, we have right now received the covering. That's why I can say I'm perfect. Not in myself, but because of His sacrifice. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now, look at what he says, now received the covering, the atonement. So we are covered. That means we're just like that thing in there, that you can't see the mess anymore. I am covered. I am covered. You are covered if you believe it. If you believe that what Jesus did was sufficient to make you perfect, you are covered. Because what Paul says is, by whom we have now, not in the future, not after you fasted 21 days, now received atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But now, and here's my other two favorite scriptures I want to put together. And this was a revelation when I was teaching it. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Again, it's tied with faith. But only to what? To everyone that believeth. So the question is, do you believe? If you believe that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, if you believe that, then the scripture that says, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. When you put those two scriptures together, do you understand what that means? When you put those two scriptures together, it means you are not having any sin on your account. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So this is what I'm going to say. Lord, I believe that you're the end of the law. I believe that you're the end of the law. Christ, I believe that you are the end of the law. I believe that you are the end of the law. I believe that you're the end of the curse, because the law was a curse. I believe that you're the end of the curse. I believe that your death is a covering. I believe that I am perfect in you. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. If we could ever, ever really get that. If sin is not imputed, that means I have no sin. It's all gone silent on me. Let me say it again. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 10 says, for Christ is the end of the law. That means sin is not imputed for everyone that believes it. Whenever we can put those two verses together and meditate upon them day and night, we would have, and I say it so many times, we would have so much power. We would have so much walk with God. We would have so much determination. Amen. Now, the truth is, though, in this flesh, death still reigns. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That means, if the Lord tarry enough, no matter how child of God I am, this body is going to die. And that's okay. It might not be okay with my wife. And I don't want her to go right now either. But that's okay. Because it's God's plan for this body to die. It's the only way I'm going to get my heavenly body. One way or the other, this body has got to die. Amen. It's got to die so I can get my glorified body. Amen. Who is the figure of him that was to come. And of course, 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Amen. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Boy, that's a powerful scripture. Let me read it again. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Think about that. Do you believe that? Have we been made the righteousness of God? Now, if we truly believe that, there would be nothing that could stop us. Nothing could stop us. We would be walking up to people healing left and right. We are it, the righteousness of God. We have the power of God. We have the gift of God. We have the blessing of God. We have the favor of God. You know what we do, though? We're tepid. Sometimes we feel that way. You know, they say sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Sometimes we feel like we could go out and slay a lion. Right? Sometimes we feel like we could go out and slay a lion and be ready to conquer the world, and then the devil comes in. Now, let me show you. Even one of the greatest old-time prophets that happened to, Elijah. He had just called down fire from heaven, burnt up the sacrifice, right? Had all these great things, and then he heard that Jezebel was going to kill him. Then he lost all his desire and ran off into the desert. Lord, just kill me. It's hopeless. I give up. I'm the only one. Now, you've all felt like that sometimes, right? We've all felt like that sometimes. Lord, Lord, just take me. Man, I could be in somewhere nice. All these pastors moving to Florida. All these people move into somewhere nice and easy going, and, you know, no gunshots at night, no sirens. But you know what? Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous to repent, but he came to call sinners. So we're right where the action is. Amen. We are right where the action is. That means we have a full field ready to be harvested. Right? We have a full field of people who need salvation right here within this radius, 10-mile radius of where this church is. Amen. This is where God has put us. This is where God has called us. So let your light shine before men. Amen. That's what we are called to do. Not to be depressed and downhearted, but to understand who we've been called to be. Amen. You see, he also gave a gift. Because although one man's sin brought condemnation, one man's sin, one man's obedience brought salvation. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. It says all men. That means it's just like I told you. It's like there's $1 million in the bank. Some people will believe and go get it. Some people won't. But it said all men, there was a free gift of salvation. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Righteous means right standing with God. Amen. Jesus made us have right standing with God. When I come to pray, I'm not praying because I'm good. I'm praying because Jesus died for me. I can come boldly to a throne of grace. Amen. Boldly to a throne of grace. See, the law increased sin. Romans 5:20, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. That's what the law did. It put us right out there. It showed all our sins in high relief. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. God is so good. God is so good. Amen. Because it was God's mercy and his grace that enabled us to stand. Sister Browning.
There's a special kind of paint that only shows up in the dark. I don't know what it is. It's a kind of translucent paint, but it's like
darkness. I think it's called a blacklight paint, yes.
Okay, and when it's light, you don't see it, but when it's dark, it comes to light. And I think
you shine a black light on it,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, when you shine a black light, that's what grace is, and that's what the light is to us.
Amen.
In a world of sin. Yeah.
Amen. We should be a light in darkness. Amen. A light unto the Gentiles. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That means what we have here, this gift, is available to everyone, but not everyone will avail themselves of it. It's just as I said, it's not that God loves any one of us more. It's that some of us have gone to the bank more often, right? Some of us have believed that there's money in there for us, and we've gone to the bank more often. It's not that God has said you can't have what's in the bank. It's just some of us have believed and have been to the bank more often. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I'm going to end it there. But I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to be encouraged and understand that the grace of God, it says here, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. We need to walk, amen, in faith believing that God loves us. You need to tell yourself that when you wake up in the morning, God loves me. Isn't that what the little children song says? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If we could just have the faith of a little child and believe that God loves us. And because he loves us, the Bible said, he hath sent his son. Hallelujah. That we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. And we should walk as if we believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. God has been so good and so merciful. And I hope tonight that this word has encouraged you. You wake up tomorrow, tell this body, you're dead. You're dead. I'm a child of the King. And I believe that he loves me. And I'm going to have a victorious day. I'm going to have a victorious day. Whatever tribulation comes, it's just because the devil is mad. And all it means is that I'm investing in the kingdom of God. And there's blessing coming. There's deliverance coming. There's healing coming. I'm going to go down to God's spiritual bank. I'm going to take a withdrawal. Amen. I'm telling you, this word is real if you will just trust and obey and believe. Hallelujah. You can be delivered. You can walk on water, as I've said so many times. You just have to go down to the bank. Amen. You put obedience with faith. There's no stopping it. Obedience with faith is the irresistible force that moves God. Hallelujah. Because you are standing upon His word. And His word can never fail. And God can never lie. It says, by two immutable things, that is that God can never lie. Amen. That we have a more sure word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through tonight, whatever trials and tribulations, do not despair. Do not give up. Do not let Satan lie to you. God loves you. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you through. He's going to put you on a rock. You just got to tell that mountain, give me my mountain. You just have to claim victory. You just have to believe that you are walking, and therefore He declares you perfect. You have that covering now. 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 Amen. Not next week, now. You can walk in victory now, despite what's going around you. This is how you give the devil a black eye. Because he's expecting you to do like Job's wife. Why don't you curse God? Quit church. Give up. You've been going to church for years, and look at the mess. Tell him, devil, you're a liar. Job said, you speak as a foolish woman. You speak as a foolish woman. And in all this, Job kept his integrity. Amen. Because he says, I know one day I'm going to see my Savior. I'm going to see my Redeemer for myself, not another. Not another. He believed so much in the resurrection. He says, it doesn't matter if I die. I'm going to see my Redeemer in my own flesh. I'm going to see Him. When you believe that God has a place for you, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Tell the devil he's a liar, and you're going to have a victory report. Amen. Tell the devil he's a liar. Whatever it is, sickness, finances, tell him he's a liar. Amen. Because God's love covers everything. As long as I'm obedient to the word, as long as I'm walking, as long as I've taken the first step, amen, He saves to the uttermost. That's what it says. If you could bow your head with me, Father, we just thank You for Your presence tonight. Let these words find good soil. Oh, Father, increase our faith. Help us to trust You. Help us to believe Your word. That you